Moncrief on News Talk.
You may have seen the pictures lately of Donald Trump touring a Ford plant in Michigan during the week. One employee took to a bit of heckling and accused the US president of protecting paedophiles, presumably because so much of the Epstein files have yet to be released. Statesmanlike as ever, Donald Trump yelled F you at the man twice and then flipped him the bird. Donald Trump is distinctive for many reasons, and one is that he's the most potty-mouthed president in US history. People have actually counted. So will this induce political profanity in other countries? Joseph Phillips is politics lecturer at Cardiff University. Good afternoon, Joseph.
Good afternoon.
Comparing Donald Trump to all the other US presidents, like, what's the disparity there?
Well, I should say he's responsible for about half of the utterances of profanity that any U.S. president has ever uttered.
That's an extraordinary achievement.
And he's taken up a bigger percentage every day, it seems.
Yes. And the way he does it, would these tend to be off the cuff kind of phrases he uses? Well, it just kind of slips out.
Yeah, I would say so, particularly kind of in the recent year. He kind of just says words like how you and I would say words. You know, if he's referring to a politician that he's up against, like Zoran Mamdani or Gavin Newsom, he likes referring to them as having a good line of BS. You know, something that you or I might say when we're talking in private.
Yeah, okay. And within political culture in the US, was that generally seen as being acceptable?
So for the longest time, it wasn't. There's something back in the 1930s where the vice president at the time said that being vice president wasn't worth a warm bucket of pee. And he ended up, and believe it or not, that was enough for newspapers to actually alter the quote or censor it in some way. And the vice president thought, okay, yeah, that was proper to do.
Yeah. So what's changed?
Well, I think what ends up happening kind of is one politician just does it and says it off the cuff and realizes the sky didn't fall. And the sky didn't fall at exactly a time where, you know, people don't really trust politicians in the way that they used to. Trust has gone down quite a bit in a lot of countries, including the United States. And with that comes this kind of sense of, oh, politicians are not like us. So politicians can do something pretty cheap and easy to sound like ordinary people. Ordinary people curse.
Yeah. But say, like, he's a significant portion of his support, you know, come from are very religious. Would they not object to that?
Well, I mean, they've had to kind of deal with a whole lot of things. I mean, Trump has also had affairs, for example. The way that they would view him is rather an imperfect vessel, and cursing is just one of many imperfections that they would have to deal with.
Okay, so they're content to listen to this stuff. Does it run the risk of cheapening political dialogue? Because, you know, apart from swearing, he's just generally big on name calling.
Yeah, I mean, name calling is also something that has sort of happened from time to time, and not only in the U.S. There's a fun anecdote from the Australian Parliament where someone was asking what the difference between the person they were speaking to and a bucket of S was. Mm. And when asked to withdraw the remarks, he only withdrew bucket.
Yes. Yeah, you could see how that might be a bit more acceptable in Australia as well. But does it mean that the view, particularly of a president, that people want a president or used to want a president to be statesmanlike? That's not an expectation anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there was this kind of notion of what it means to be presidential. And I think that in the era of polarization, this has kind of gone out the window, that the stakes are just so high now with who wins and what the policy debates are, that it kind of doesn't matter what your preferred politician's behavior is, because the other side is just that much worse.
Okay, so they just don't care.
Yeah, I mean, also, we also have to deal with the fact that profanity isn't as profane as it used to be either. Kind of the social norms around it have also changed. If you take a look at kind of younger generations and how they feel about the use of profanity in various situations, they're just a lot less offended by it than people of older generations. And this has kind of gone on for a period of time. And so that's another kind of thing that we're dealing with.
Yeah. And so that, I suppose, if Trump swears that his base might find him more relatable, is that in the domestic sphere and in the international sphere? Would they feel happy if he goes off to, international talks with NATO or you know, all that kind of stuff, and he's effing and blinding people?
I don't think they'd mind. And frankly, this wouldn't even be the first time that Trump has uttered profanity regarding international affairs. I mean, back in June, when he was trying to mediate the escalating tensions between Israel and Iran, he said they were fighting for so long they don't know what the F to do with one another. He said very similar language about Zelensky and Sergei Lavrov back in August.
Yeah. Okay. But so even when he's representing the country, people are fine with being represented by a sweary person.
Yeah, I don't think that they would make the distinction between him within the country and outside of the country, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Or I probably don't care as much about whatever he does outside the country. Who's then the second most sweary U.S. president?
So the second most sweary is Joe Biden, who uses the D word, which by comparison
You mean damn?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was being careful there because that's enough to get you in trouble in the United States.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Biden loved use of that word. In fact, he said it, almost 200 times throughout his presidency.
And did that attract any flack from people when he used it?
I don't think so. I mean, the way that people viewed how Biden spoke was that, you know, he was a guy who was up there in years, and he never had the strongest filter. He used to politely use the term malarkey when he likely meant BS, but he always had a bit of a mouth on him. And so I think people kind of took it in stride. But also, I don't think the average American is offended by damn anymore.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if anyone's offended by damn anymore. So is this filtering down, particularly in the U.S.? Or, you know, are we getting state politicians swearing at each other now?
Occasionally. Where it's really filtering down now is in presidential candidates. So you saw this for the first time in 2020 when you had about 15 Democrats trying to run against Trump at the same time. Each of them would take turns inserting one curse word into the debates or into some social media post in order to sound edgy. They've kind of dipped their toe in. However, nobody is using it as much as Trump or even Biden.
Right. Okay. So so it sounds like kind of it's going to increase then.
Perhaps. I mean, we got to kind of see how other politicians are treated with regards to it, because usually it's happening within a broader spectacle. Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, just last week said to ICE, who is currently ransacking Minneapolis, get the F out of our city. He did catch some flack for that, admittedly from Fox News, who would be of the opposite political orientation to him. And he had to say to them point blank, which is more offensive, me saying the F word or somebody killing somebody?
Mm. Yeah. So is it then, would politicians still be using swear words kind of with a degree of care where they want to project anger or as you say, they want to appear a bit more edgy, but they won't be doing it every day kind of thing?
I would imagine so. I mean, even kind of in the social media era, there still is this kind of notion among politicians to speak in a kind of PR-friendly way, and I don't think that gets trained out of you overnight. And so I don't imagine every politician is suddenly going to talk like they're in the pub.
Yeah, okay. But it does seem to imply that the idea of being statesmanlike or stateswomanlike is being gradually denuded a bit.
Perhaps, or it's going to be reinvented in a new way, one that doesn't necessarily rely on the types of words you speak, but perhaps your broader actions toward the public.
Where you are, Joseph, in the UK, one can't imagine politicians there swearing.
Yeah, there are very, very few examples, but one of them is in my home country here of Wales. The former First Minister, Vaughan Gething. Back before he was first minister, back in 2020, this was in the days of Zoom during COVID, there was a proceeding going on with the Senedd, and he forgot to mute, like some of us might have with those early days Zoom calls. And he was none too pleased with what one of his colleagues said in terms of asking questions of other members, and without realizing he was able to be heard by everybody, asked, "What the F is the matter with her?"
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, yeah, and some people might like him for that, depending on how they feel about the her he was referring to. Joseph, thanks very much for talking with us today. That was Joseph Phillips there, a politics lecturer at Cardiff University. One texter says, "I'm not a fan of Trump, but I find his colourful language very funny." It is kind of amusing to hear it, right? I remember the uproar from Republicans when Obama wore a tan suit in 2014. How far we've come. God, yeah, I remember that too. Yeah, there was outrage about that. I can't remember exactly why. And somebody else says, "Sweary, what a joke our media are." Don't quite sure what point you're making there, but you are listening to the media right now and reacting to it. So I hope you continue to be amused.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.